certainly appreciated the time this morning. And I'd like to, with Thelma, encourage Dave. Keep on encouraging people. I feel that in my life, I was a little like somebody said this morning. Too often, we can say the things which don't encourage, and rather discourage. And it's so beautiful if we have somebody that is an encourager. I don't know if you know it or not, but Calvin Nisley calls me different times. He calls me, just calls me. And you know what he does? He encourages me. That's what he does. Just calls me, and when I'm gone for meetings or come back, and he says, Abner, I missed you, and different things like that. And we say, well, I don't need that, but we do. We do. We need that encouragement. And I thought it was beautiful this morning, that encouragement to be encouraging people. Calvin has a way of talking to you that I told him last evening. He called, and I did not realize. I was ashamed when I realized that I knew they had been out there, but I didn't know they were still there. And when he talked to me, he was saying about the different people, different things. And I said, talk to him about his things at home. And, well, he said, I have a dog that's a year and a half old. And he said, my working people say that the dog is terrible lonely since I'm not there. He said, I usually take him on my pickup and he misses me. And I said to Calvin, that's very encouraging. To find out that when you go a time like that, and at least the dog misses you. And Calvin just laughed. But, you know, sometimes dogs are more encouraging like that than people are. So keep on that doing that, Dave, and all of us people, may we listen to that and be encouraged by what we heard. I'd like to bow for prayer just before I start in the message. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for the Word of God. I thank you for Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Father, for brethren and sisters. And I pray, God, as we meditated and studied this morning in Sunday school concerning our homes, that we as husbands would take our part. Do, O God, what you direct us. Be what you call us to be. And to love our wives, yes, as Christ loved the church. Thank you, Father, for stable marriages when we realize what's happening in the world today. And I think of this man that Brother Joe talked about. What a terrible thing, Lord, when we think of 60-some years together now all at once. There's a different thought. Oh, God, something's wrong. And it's not in the plan of marriage, but it's in our own selves. And so we just ask you, O God, to put within us a beautiful relationship that draws rather than withdraws. Keep us this morning, Lord, under the power of your word. Let me speak only that which is yea and amen, truth in the word of God. For your sake and your love, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to talk about a subject that this morning I haven't talked about for quite some time, and not because it's not important, but because I just didn't. And then I thought, you know, so often I'm not here, so often Ann and I are gone someplace, and I thought, well, it could be that Mark or James or Joe preached on this subject, and well, how am I going to know if they did or not? And I thought, well, if the Lord laid this on my heart, I don't think it matters if I preach it, if others did preach it. But I'd like to talk on a subject which we call, and the Bible calls, sanctification. And we don't need to fear that word. It's found in the scriptures quite often. And I think I know basically what sanctification means, but I would like to ask a question this morning. And maybe different times through the message, Do you have a good understanding of what the Bible means when Jesus, or John writes, Jesus said in the book of John, it's recorded, where he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Do you have a good idea what that means? What does sanctification entail? What does it mean when we say, I am sanctified? Now, we have a lot of different type of thinking on this and different type of, different type of faith, but different emphasis on it. We have people that talk about total sanctification, and we have people that talk about progressive sanctification, and we have people that talk about that you can't ever be sanctified until you go to be in glory with Jesus. And so there's a lot of confusion. And I don't expect, and I don't even want to give the thought that I'm going to take care of that confusion this morning. But I do believe that it's necessary for us as people to understand what sanctification really means in the Christian life. And what it is. Why do I feel this way? I feel this way because in the world today, in a lot of the so-called churches, in a lot of the preaching that's done, there is no mention made of an outworking in our heart and life of true holiness. I'll touch on some of this a little later, but it's a believing system that what they call the by faith only. And I have preached this many times, that we are saved by grace through faith and not of works. And I believe that to be true. But I also believe that this justification, I'm running ahead of myself a little bit, but this justification cannot just justification and regeneration without sanctification will let the person go to hell. I believe that. And so I need to preach sanctification. This is the will of God. Even your sanctification is what the Bible says. This is the will of God. And so it's the will of God, my dearly beloved people, that we all experience sanctification in our Christian life. Now the question which heads this message is one which I realize people dislike. They don't like to hear of. I thought about this when I meditated on this message, and I thought, what I hate to use the word, but I'm going to, what my Amish people would think on a message of sanctification. What they would think that would be. But I'm more curious, and what do you think it is? Is there anyone here that would like to tell me in a few words? It's not possible, but try to keep it short because I want a little time too. Somebody would tell me what sanctification means to you. Thelma. A cleansing, all right? She just had one word. Anybody else? What does sanctification... When you think of being sanctified, what do you think of, Mark? I like that, yes. It's a cleansing, but it's also the outworking of our salvation. Anyone else? Bob. Thank you, Bob. I guess this is where I'm going to differ with some people, because I do believe it does. Yes, I would say it does. I do not believe sanctification can be put in one box. I do not believe that you are totally sanctified in an instant without an outworking of that sanctification. I'm not saying, now hear me, I'm not saying you cannot have an experience of a sanctifying work in Christ Jesus where you feel yourself, as Thelma said, cleansed. But I believe that sanctification, and again I'm jumping way ahead of my message, but I believe that sanctification is an ongoing process in the life of the believer. And if it isn't, it should cause us to sit up and be tremendously concerned when this ongoing sanctification working in us through Jesus Christ, and as Paul talks to the Philippians, and working out, God's will is to work out from you that which is His good pleasure. That is sanctification. And the reason I feel that we need to teach this, and we need to believe it, and we need to allow it to happen, you hear how I said that, allow it to happen in our life, is because there is a world today, and I call it the world, though they call it the church, that is preaching and saying it has nothing to do with your salvation. And I protest. Sometime, I would like to preach, Jesus is Lord. I'd like to preach that as a message. There's a sign out in Bedford, when you drive the bypass, that in big letters in a building, it says, Jesus is Lord. Do you know that that man, I know the man personally, that man was approached and tried, they tried the best that they could to get him to take that thing down. They didn't get it accomplished. Because he says, Jesus is Lord. And there's people today who say, that's asceticism, that's lawish, that's, can't get the word I want, legalism, to make Jesus your Lord. And I believe that you cannot have Jesus as your Savior without having Him as your Lord. If He is not Lord, how can He be Savior? And this goes right into sanctification. It is an important question, in utmost importance to our soul. If the Bible is true, then it is certain that unless we are sanctified, we shall not be saved. Unless we are sanctified. Now, I'm not saying you have to understand it. I'm not saying you have to be sanctified in completeness. But I do believe this. There ought to be a longing in your heart, day by day, for the Lord's sanctifying work in you to work out. I'd like to say something to you wives. I know Leroy sort of skipped. No, he didn't skip over it. He taught very well this morning. I really appreciated it. But there is an adorning. We tend to focus on the adorning of gold and the plaiting of hair and the putting on of apparel. You know, that putting on of apparel goes pretty far. But I'd like to focus a little bit on what it does say that you sisters and women should be adorned with. And that is the inner man. The inner man. And I believe that's what's going to work out sanctification in our life. Being adorned with the grace of God in the inner man. You don't have to walk around long and you meet a person who is adorned in the inner man and you immediately, you notice there's something about that person. You don't see it in clothing. You don't see it in all kind of dress styles and things like that. But there's an adorning that speaks out. And I believe it's the adorning of the inward presence of the Holy Spirit. And the beauty of that adorning. And if you sisters and brethren, if you go and dress up on the outside, it often stops people from seeing the inward adorning. They don't see that because all they're taken up with is the outside. And that's going to burn up someday. Well, let's go back to our topic. I'd like to think of three things this morning. I don't know if I'm going to get through them. But I like to think on sanctification. First, the true nature the true, I guess I've no other better word than to say the nature of sanctification. I'm not much of a 1-2-3-point preacher, but this morning I like to do a little bit of that. That would be the first one, and then the marks that show that you are sanctified. Are you ready for that? I believe there are marks that you can see when a person has experienced and is experiencing sanctification in their life. And then the third one, I'd like to, and this one I'm not sure if I'm going to cover because I'm afraid I'm not going to get there, but I'd like to show a little bit the difference between justification and sanctification. Now, I that last one I wanted to cover some because I believe there is a confusion in that. Where there is a confusion on the difference between sanctification and justification. And so, if you don't have much interest in sanctification, I can understand why this message isn't going to intrigue you at all. And so maybe you probably think it's just an affair of words or nice questions, and it matters nothing what you hold and believe. But I'd like to plead with you, if you are a sensible Christian, I'd venture to say that you will not find it, that you will find it worthwhile to understand a little better the clear ideas given in the Scripture concerning sanctification. In the first place, as I said, this is number one. Let's consider a little bit the nature of sanctification. What it is. What does the Bible mean when it speaks of a sanctified man? When I was a young man, before I was married, I worked in a place of business where there are a lot of people would come in. And the man I worked for was a Christian. And I had no idea that these Christian people, now you would have said if you'd have looked at me, well, maybe at times, but yes, if you would have seen me sometimes on a Sunday morning, you'd have thought, well, surely you're a Christian too. But I wasn't. But these men had a strange way of talking to each other. And in this place of business, my boss was a child of God, a beautiful child of God, as I now recollect. He doesn't live anymore. But these men would come in and they would say, my boss's name was Clarence. And the men would come in, good brethren of, or brethren in the same, maybe not in the same church, but they loved each other. And they would come in and say, well, how's St. Clarence this morning? And I thought, that's blasphemy. Unverständlich, I used to think. Why do they say this guy's a saint? I mean, I thought the Catholics make saints. And they called him St. Clarence. But do you know why they did? Because he was a child of God that was justified and he was sanctified. Being sanctified, was sanctified and being sanctified. That's all I can say now as I look back. Sanctification is that inward spiritual work which the Lord Jesus Christ works in a man. That's what I believe sanctification is. It's that deep spiritual work which the Lord Jesus Christ excuse me sorry works in a man by the Holy Ghost. When he calls him to be a true believer, he separates him from his natural love of sin and the world. Did you hear me? Does that happen all at one time? To some degree it does. And in other degrees, the Lord keeps on working on that person. And I like what Bob asked about growth. As time goes on, those things, more and more and more things come to our knowledge. That's the sanctifying process of our life as we walk with Jesus Christ. We sing the song, He is not done with me yet. You know, how's that song? He's still working on me. Thank you, Thelma. He's still working on me. That to me is growth in the work of the Holy Ghost in our life. Constantly working out holiness and true righteousness. And so, the subject of this work of Christ by His Spirit is called in this scripture a sanctified man. He is a sanctified man. He who supposes that Jesus Christ only lived and died and rose again in order to provide justification and forgiveness of sins for His people has a lot to learn yet. And you know, that is the theme that is being preached across. That's all it's just justification and the forgiveness of sin. And that's why we have what we have. That's why we have these stories about people who are calling themselves Christians and are divorcing at a horrible rate. Because they're not sanctified. Are they justified? I'll leave that to you. People say, well, you don't have to be sanctified. You just need to be justified, have the forgiveness of sin. I don't know what they do about the thought of regeneration. But brethren and sisters, it is my cry in my older years that when Jesus Christ justifies, He changes a person. And when He works in our lives through the Holy Spirit, it brings a sanctifying workout and promotes holiness. We don't have to be afraid of that word. It promotes holiness. You say, well, you got to work salvation. Well, if you want to call that work salvation, yes, I do. But I believe that sanctifying work in us people, and I'd like to talk about that if I have time this morning, what that is. Now, I'd like to read some scriptures here. For Jesus said, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified. Jesus also said, or the Bible also says, Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it. Christ gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The German says, ein Volk des Eigentums. A people that are peculiar, and I don't believe that means in looks. I believe that means in works, though it may set them apart. But it comes out of those people that are being sanctified come the fruit of the Spirit. Christ hath reconciled you in His body, of His flesh through death, to present you holy, unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Now these scriptures, I didn't give the text for them, but they're found in John and Ephesians and Titus and Peter and Colossians. The scripture talking of sanctification. Let the meaning of these five biblical texts here be carefully considered. If words mean anything, they teach that Christ undertakes the sanctification, no less than the justification of His believing people. Both are alike provided, for in that everlasting covenant ordered in all things and sure, in which the mediator is my Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. This subject before me this morning is so vast and deep that it seems like we have to be very careful to mark out on every side. It's a doctrine which is needful to salvation. And it can never be too sharply developed or brought too fully to light. I remember years ago, I had a message in three parts. I don't know, I preached it here at home, I believe. And it was about sanctification begun, and sanctification processing, and then sanctification when it turns into glorification. I can't get the message entirely together anymore. But I remember when I was preaching or when I was studying that message, that I realized how many of us people go through life and don't realize the importance of the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. You see, brethren and sisters, we should not go through life and say and only look in our life and see, well, we're the same as we were back 20 years ago. There should have been a cleansing work being done in our life, on and on and on. And we should be different. And it should behoove us to become concerned if our cleansing was not showing up in different areas of life. And to my sorrow, I see and tend to see that I get immune to some things. And as we look at our life, I wonder, have we become more callous and more indifferent and more unencouraging, as Dave said this morning, that we go through life and finally we hardly know what's happening. I know we don't want to advertise everything we do, but brethren, I've often wondered. You know, when I lost my finger, there was hardly anything that I could do for morning upon morning upon morning when I'd wake up and I'd look at my hand. There was a deep pain. I can't describe it, that I had lost a finger. Sanctifying work in the body of believers should do the same thing when we lose a member of the church. There ought to be a pain in our heart. But it's become so that it's, well, if that's what he wants to do, let him go. That's about as deep as it goes. You say, well, no, I have more concern with that than that. I say, well, bless you. But I know that I have become way too callous in those areas. There ought to be a painful thing because that finger is missed. And so are all the members. It doesn't matter what. And they're in the body of Christ. And sanctifying work draws us together, not puts us apart. Sanctification is therefore the invaluable result of that union with Christ which true faith gives to the Christian. Jesus said, "He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." That's the work of sanctification. Bringing forth fruit in our life. The branch which bears no fruit is no living branch of the vine. I'm cleaning up a pasture of a neighbor's. And I'm surprised. There's trees in there. I just call them thorn trees. I don't know what their right name is. I don't like them. But some of them grow to be big, quite big. And I'm cleaning them all off. And they have horrible thorns on them. And they are rooted so hard. But I find out that once that tree died from whatever it may have been, I can hit it with my skid loader and it just, like that, it goes. And I'm wondering, when the trials and the temptations and the trials of life enter and we would face persecution, how many Christians would just fold over? Because what? Because there's no life in them. But let me tell you something. My skid loader backs up and takes another look when he hits one of those thorn trees to try to push it out, and it's alive and well. That's something else. And I pulled some of them up with my bucket, that the roots were at least that long, pulling up out of the ground. And you know, I got a picture of a truly sanctified. You say, well, I'm not a thorn tree. Well, too many of us are like thorn trees. But anyway, the roots go deep, and that's what makes them hang on. But if life departs, those roots become brittle, and I can just push them over. That spoke to me, because to me, I believe that the sanctified person is the one who abides in the vine, and there's life there, and strength, and courage to go on. You know, sometimes, brethren and sisters, I'm going to be honest, but sometimes I get a little discouraged in the church. I get a little discouraged in what's going on. And then I talk to some person, or maybe talk to a person who says, Abner, what do we do in our church so and so and so? And it sounds like the same discouragement I was going through. And then I realized that all our discouragement is not going to help. But encouragement and standing fast in Jesus Christ and walking. Oh, Brother David, you keep preaching that message. Encourage me to encourage, because I believe it's something that is so needful. He said something this morning that I thought about. Don't you, when you do a job, I don't know how many of you are bosses and how many of you aren't, but doesn't it sort of feel good when you're working for somebody and he comes around and says, "You're doing a good job. You're doing a good job." Instead of just walking past you, you wonder if you ever made an imprint in his work. Sure, it makes a difference. Sanctification is the outcome and the consequence. Hear what I say? It's the inseparable consequence of regeneration. He that is born again and is made a new creature receives a new nature and a new principle and always lives a new life. I have to preach that. I believe it. Has it always brought a new life to me? Yes, but sometimes it took a long time. But it brought new life. If you would have known me, and I'm not here to put myself up as an example, but if you would have known me from the time before I was converted until after I was converted, you would have said something happened. I remember I found out that my dad said, when Abner quit smoking, he said, "We've lost him." When he found out that I quit smoking, my father said, "We've lost him." Why? Because he knew, my father knew, that people who have faith in a salvation cannot put up with using tobacco for very long. Now I know that's a difference in our time now than it was, because years ago, some of the Charles Haddon Spurgeon, if I read my history right, smoked a pipe for many years when he was a preacher. Until one time somebody told him and he said, "Charles, you're a slave to your pipe." And Charles said, "What? I am not." He said when he tried to quit, he found out he was. But he did quit. And so it goes back to times when people were not so, knowledgeable about what tobacco does to you. And I wanted to let some room for that, but I didn't have any room for that. My wife would put articles of the Reader's Digest in front of my face before I was converted, or in my chair, rather, not in front of my face, so I would read them. But I didn't take notice. She was wanting me to live longer, and I didn't, and I rejected it. Sanctification, here is another definition of sanctification, is a certain evidence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to tell you something, brethren and sisters. We talk about the work of the Spirit in our life. We talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we talk about different things like this. Being totally sanctified. I had a man not too far from here who told me, who comes from a background of total sanctification preaching. And he was telling me about some things that were going on in a church where he was. And I said to him, wait a minute. Where's this sanctification that's done in life? He said, "They're not sanctified." Oh, I said, "But they say they are." Now, I'd like to say something here. What we say with our mouth, what we say we experienced, may I use these words? Can come pretty cheap. But I'm going to tell you this, that I believe that sanctification is the evidence, the certain evidence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, because if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, Romans says. And the evidence of that inlying spirit within that person is the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit coming out. That's what it is. The fruit of the Spirit coming out. You know, I don't believe that we realize how the testimony of our lips is shattered by the rebellion in our heart. We can say what we want to, but if rebellion is in our heart, our lips are lying. Because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And I'm not saying rebellion against some wrong system. I'm saying rebellion against the Word of God and what it teaches us to walk in. So, it's the evidence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, Paul writes, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And such like. In Galatians 5, it tells us that. And such like. And where these things are to be found, there is the Spirit. And where these things are not found, men are dead before God. I have to say that. Brethren, I have to look at my life. I have to see what comes forth. Because that's the evidence. By your fruits, Jesus said, you shall know them. That's still the truth. That's the bottom line. Not what you say, not how high you jumped, not these things, but it's what comes out of your life. That's what is proof of whether you have been born again or whether you are being sanctified in your life. Sanctification. I'm going to say some things this morning. I just thought about this and I thought and I believe that sanctification is, you know, the names and numbers of what the Bible talks of the elect are a secret thing, no doubt. We don't know. But when I think of the sovereignty of God, I know that God knows. And so I am elect according to God. Because He knows. He knows the future as well as the past. And so I like to say that sanctification is a mark of God's election. When He has put His grace into your heart, then that sanctification is going to come out of your life. As Jesus Christ through the Spirit puts it in. He that boasts of being of one of God's elect while he is willfully. And I have had this happen. I remember over here in this school. In where the school is now. Of a man responding one evening and wanting to talk to me. And we went back into the prayer room. And I was so shocked at what he said he is in. Horrible sins. But do you know what he said? But he said, I am one of God's elect. I was chosen of God. Well, I'm going to say he that boasts of being one of God's elect while he is willfully and habitually living in sin. I'm not saying who sins, but who willfully and habitually lives in sin is only deceiving himself. And is talking wickedly and wicked blasphemy. But you know, it's hard for us to really know what people are because we can't see their hearts. But God can. God can see that. Well, I see I'm going to have to hurry if I want to do what I'd like to. Sanctification is also a thing that is always to be seen. In other words, you can see sanctification being worked out in a person. You can see it when there's pressures. I was talking to Calvin last night, and you know, I was shocked this morning, I'll just say it, shocked, when Joseph said that they found some cancer cells, because the grace in Calvin's language last evening would not have told me that. And I found myself thinking here, if they would have found cancer cells in Anna, what would I have said? What would I have said? You see, sanctification works in so many different areas. Sanctification works when somebody borrows something from you and breaks it all up and brings it home. Then sanctification goes to work. Or it doesn't. You see? It shows. Sanctification will be seen. It cannot be hid. Every tree is known by his own fruit, Luke says in chapter 6, verse 44. A truly sanctified person may be so clothed with humility that he can see in himself nothing but infirmities and defects. I was reading in the book of Daniel not long ago, that was just a few weeks ago, in my private time, and I came across Daniel confessing his sin. Hear me? But it was a sin of the Israelites. It was a sin of the Jews. But it was his sin. He was so cloaked with humility that he couldn't see anything. And like Moses, when he came down from the mount, a person who is sanctified and God is working with grace, he's like Moses when he comes down to the mount. Moses didn't realize that his face was so shiny because he had been that close with God, but he couldn't be hid. And like the righteous in the mighty parable of the sheep and the goats, we find out that they said, when did we see thee and hungered? When did we see this? They don't know it. But sanctification is working in their life. Sanctification, again, is a thing in which every believer is responsible. Now here's where I'm going to tread on some thin ice. But I'm going to say it. I believe sanctification is your and my responsibility. You say, whoa! But do you know that the Lord Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, cannot work out sanctification in your life unless you give Him yourself to Him completely? And so it is your responsibility. It works in many ways. I was preaching in McVeightown one time, and I gave my testimony of being delivered from tobacco. And I made this statement, you have to watch when you preach. I said, when I quit, then the Lord took a hold of it and delivered me. And so that evening after the service, a man from the little town of Allenwood came up to the front. I didn't know him. And he said, you have the answer for me. And I said, what was that? He said, I can't give up my cigarettes and you're telling me I should just go ahead and smoke like I want to until the Lord delivers me. Do you know that there was a group in Kentucky at one time that said they can do nothing. They can do nothing. Joe, do you remember that? We had one come and speak here in front of our church and his whole devotional was nothing. That's what it was. I can't do anything. I'm nothing. One man went to prison because of incest because he said, I can't do anything until God delivers me. Now, I like to refute that. That's what I say, that you, in your sanctification, is a thing which every believer is responsible. You need to long. You need to strive. You need to yearn for sanctification in your heart. I'd like to ask you, do you sometimes when you're out at your work, do you sometimes just say, Lord, please, make me more holy. Make me more holy. Make me more contrite. Make me more forgiving. God, I need you. But you know, if we just don't care and we think that the Lord's just going to reach down and do it for us, He wants us to take our responsibility. Whose fault is it if we're not holy? But our own. On whom can they throw the blame if they're not sanctified? But on ourselves. God has given us everything to get a hold of it. And so we have no excuse. Alright? Now here I'd like to touch on what Bob said. I believe sanctification is also a thing which admits to growth and degrees. I want to be understood here. When I was converted in our little house that afternoon, I believe the Lord did a sanctifying work in me. I believe He put the Holy Spirit in me. I don't understand all these things, But I believe that no man can be born again unless the Holy Spirit enters into his life. But if I would tell you the things that I was involved with, you'd be shocked. Things that later, bit by bit, he worked out of my life. Even to thoughts and actions. And I believe that when I think of this, I see that there's a growth. The more sanctified we may become because of the character that is strengthened and enlarged and deepened in our life. I have met people that I knew and later met them as Christians, and I was so surprised at how they changed. How they changed. What was that? Was it justification? No. Justification is done like that. The moment you believe in the blood of Jesus Christ, you're justified. But the outworking of that justification is the sanctification that works in our lives to outwork. And then we become, as Ephesians says, works for God. Then we become works for God. Another thing about sanctification is that it depends greatly. And here I'm going to touch on an area that I don't know where you are at. I came from a background of about 20-some years of a Christian life where there was much, much emphasis put on reading the Word of God. In fact, at communion, we would interview every family. And one of the basic questions that had to be asked is, are you having regular devotions? Do you read your Bible? And if it was vague, well, how much? And go on and on. Now, I'm going to say something maybe you don't agree with, and I'll allow that. But I believe that can become a works thing. And yet, I believe that sanctification depends greatly on our scriptural knowledge that we gain by reading and studying the Word of God. I'm not here this morning to promote this as some way of holiness. But I'm shocked. Hear me. I am shocked as I travel and I find out how many, many young families have no morning devotions or evening devotions. They don't have any. And I'm going to tell you something. If you want sanctification to work in your life, you need to be a Bible scholar. And if you're a father and a mother with little children, you have to put this into your little children where it becomes a habit. People don't like that word. But I believe Bible reading should be a habit. I believe to spend time together in the morning is one of the most beautiful things. And sometimes you say, yeah, well, we have it, but we're in a hurry. We don't get much out of it, so we might as well not do it. No, I say you might as well do it. Because you never know when the Holy Spirit can give you a drop of something that just changes your life. But I find that there's a lot of, you know, I grew up, I didn't even know what devotions meant. I didn't know what devotions meant. I never knew what it was to sit together as a family and have Bible reading. And when I became converted and I found out how precious this is, it was something we started. But now to my utter astonishment, I find out that a lot of our younger families aren't pursuing that. Aren't pursuing it. I want my children to remember their mother, seeing their mother read the Bible. I want my children to remember that. The Bible says that train up a child in the way that he should go, he won't depart from it. I believe that's going to let a constant thing in mind in the person. And sanctification depends greatly on the Word of God. I can find no record of any saint who ever neglected them. Most of the time, people who are great writers, people who are songwriters, if you read their autobiographies, I've read a lot of them, they were Bible students. They were Bible students. Don't expect to get it at the pulpit. You may get some things at the pulpit, but you need to get that inner relationship with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit so that can work out the sanctification in your life by the Word of God. Now I'm going to say something else about sanctification that has been a debate. It's been a controversy. But I'm going to say something. If we're honest, I always appreciated James' thrust on honesty. But it's this. Sanctification does not necessarily prevent a man from having a great deal of outward or great deal of inward spiritual conflict. In other words, there's people, I get a periodical, I don't know what I call it. Maybe I shouldn't, but I'm so curious, I like to read it anyway. But they preach very strong on what I would call sinless perfection. Sometimes I feel maybe we ought to teach more on that so that we would long to have a sinless life. I'm not sure where to put Romans 7. I have had conflicts with that. There was a time in my Christian life when I felt Romans 7 has nothing to do with the Christian. But I finally came to the place and I knew that I was just pulling a hood over my eyes. And I found out to my own embarrassment that I landed up in Romans 7. And sometimes some are some things. I would do something, but I couldn't. And I didn't want to do something, but I did. And so I swamped the first one that it wasn't a Christian. And then I said, well, it's a Christian that wants to live under the law. And maybe it is. I'm not here to argue. But the truth of the matter is that there's a struggle in the heart between the old nature and the new, the flesh and the spirit, which Galatians talks about in 5. They're to be found at times working in a person. That's why when you go down the road What could I use? All right, I'm not a farmer anymore, but I remember driving down the road and I couldn't afford these John Deere tractors, but I'd go down the road and I'd see this John Deere tractor out in the field and I'd envy the thing. And then I'd think, well, no, I'm a child of God. I can't envy, I can't covet. And so there'd be a conflict. Yeah, but Lord, I'd still like to have a four-wheel drive tractor. Never had one when I farmed. But I'd like, what is that? You say, oh, that's just little stuff. No, it's not little stuff. It's stuff that the Lord Jesus tells us not to do. Some of you boys, you go along and you see this guy driving along with this beautiful pickup. And there's a battle. I understand there's a battle. I'm not so afraid of the battle. What I'm afraid of is, are you going to let the sanctifying work of Jesus Christ through the Spirit work out in your life that you're able to go on victorious? Now, there are people who say sinless perfection. I have made this statement when a man said, not long ago, I read where a man said that for the last 8 years he hasn't sinned one time. And I said, I think he sinned right there. Now, you may say, Abner, that's a hard thing. You don't even know the man. No, but I know men. I know men. And what I found out that some of those people do is, instead of calling it sins, they call it a fault. Well, we need to call it what it is. I'm not here to say that we need to fall, because I don't believe. I believe that the Lord Jesus provided. But I believe that there are healthy symptoms in our condition And the grace of it is that when we see that truth, that we're not dead, but we're alive, and we want to walk with Jesus. And the motives are there. All right. Quickly, I have to go on. And then sanctification is a thing which cannot justify a man. It cannot justify a man. It cannot justify us. Sanctification cannot justify us. That's why to look at our own works for salvation is utterly foolishness. Justification comes from the blood shed by our obedient Savior. So sanctification does not justify us. And yet, it pleases God. You want to argue in that? You see, we get on this hinge of works. And we say works are an abomination to God. Works are, filthy rags. Works are filthy rags. And yet, the Bible says works please God. Now, how do you figure it all out? Well, to me, it's no problem anymore. Because I believe that the works that please God are the works that come forth from a sanctified person out of his life because of the will of the Father and the work of the Holy Spirit. And it pleases God. With such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You look in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16, and find out what those sacrifices are, if you're afraid of works. But it says, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey your parents, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. Is that works? No. I believe that comes from the Holy Spirit working in the life of a person. It's not wrong to please your parents and obey them. It's pleasing to the Lord. And I believe it's even pleasing to the Lord in children that are not converted. It's not a works thing that we need to show it. The next one I want to think about is that sanctification that will be found, that is a thing that is absolutely necessary as our witness to our character on the day of judgment. Listen, do you know what the great assize is? Anybody? You don't know what the great assize is? Well, maybe I should say, maybe the word, why that word sticks with me is Charles Spurgeon once preached a message years ago he had titled The Great Assize. And I read that message and it chilled my heart. The Great Assize is the great white throne judgment. And he, in so graphic terms, in that little, I don't know, was it a message or a tract or what, he wrote about things he expects to see in that great assize. That's what he called it. I thought about, I asked you what it is. I thought, well, maybe there is. Maybe it was just his word for it. I don't know, but it stuck with me. It's a great assize. And I believe how many of you were ever in a court trial? Oh, yeah, Mark, I would think so, but not too many more. Okay, Joe was. You know, one thing I like reading about some of these things sometimes, and there's one thing that is very, very much in evidence, is evidence. 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 You know what evidence is? Jake, what's evidence? All right. Anybody else? What's evidence? Just what? Come again. Was that you, Bob? I don't hear very good. Who said that? Proof. That's all you need. Evidence. Now, I'd like to say it this way, that sanctification
is going to be the evidence. The evidence is going to be the proof. At that great throne judgment, it's going to be one thing wanted when the great white throne is set, when the books are opened, when the graves give up their tenants, and when the dead are arranged before the bar of God. Then the proof of sanctification is going to be seen. Do you know that we're not going to be judged at a great white throne judgment by our faith? What are you going to be judged for? That's right. And so it's the evidence. I don't think God is going to do like they do with the courts of the land, where they have the evidence sitting here and here and here and have it tagged and where it came from and whatnot. But the evidence is going to come out. We're going to be. So sanctification is a very, very necessary thing. Now the last one I'd like to talk a little bit about yet is that sanctification is absolutely necessary in order to train us for heaven. You know, if you don't enjoy, hear me, if you don't enjoy being with the children of God, you're not going to enjoy heaven. It's going to be a terrible place for you. Do you ever think of that? If you don't enjoy being around the saints, there was a time when I hated to be around them. I could just hear some of them. They'd come out in my department or where I was working. They'd come out and they'd say, "Hey, Abner, is the Lord speaking to you yet?" And I used to say, "Get out of my life! Get out of my life!" I remember one time I was walking. Me and two of my buddies were walking out from Lebanon after we were watching a movie in a Sunday afternoon, and a car stopped. And it was one of those people. And they wanted to talk to us. They said, "Hey, hop in, we'll take you home." I said, "I'm not going." The other guy said, "I'm not walking." So they got in, so I got in too. We weren't more than down the road. The man said, "You boys weren't at the movies, were you?" Oh. These things are going to be evidence. They're going to come out unless they're forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, works in our hearts and lives to bring forth evidence that you, Thelma and Willard, are children of God. You know, I wish you'd have talked up this morning about marriage. You didn't, Willard. But who was more qualified? Now we're going to stand before the great judgment throne, the great assize. And the Lord's, no, I'm not going to say the Lord's going to say. But in the modern courts, they say, "Well, let's see the evidence." Now let me ask you something. What comes from your life that's evidence that you're sanctified? What comes from your life? I look at my life and I bow my head. I bow my head in shame. There's times when I feel so great under the manipulation of the Holy Spirit in my life. But then there's times when I'm ashamed. Oh God. God, I could preach another message on this message, but I'm going to close. God, sanctify us. Work in us. Don't stop. Give us more and more of that inworking of the graciousness of my Lord Jesus Christ. Let the Spirit be manifest in our lives. May God bless. Brother Mark, would you close?